Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, The Footnotes. Now this week we're very, very honoured because we've got one of our greatest actresses. Hayley Atwell is with us.
Hello.
Hey, love.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for the pastries and the coffee.
Yeah, I've got some croissants, some pain au chocolat. Is that an almond? I don't really know what it is. I just asked for pastries in the shop.
And the ratio of pastries to people is very high. There's sort of 30 pastries per person.
Yeah. And weirdly, I'm the only one who's eaten one so far. So.
And you've still got a little bit of chocolate around your mouth.
Have I? It's brilliant. Yeah.
Hayley, is this weird for you? You've been listening to us in your ears and now you have to see us with your eyes.
Well, I am slightly starstruck.
I have to say, you guys have been in my lives now for 3 years
and I actually was introduced to it by your Duchess, I suppose. If you were to make a film version, you've mentioned that she would be the Duchess. Dame Emma Thompson has introduced me to this.
Is that how you found it? Through Dame M.
Dame listens to this podcast.
We went on holiday and we gave each other all kind of books that we were reading, kind of swap book thing. And in between, a proof copy of Stephen Fry's Mythos book and Jonathan Safran Foer's latest novel was your book.
Oh.
Which was the one that was read back to back and passed around the holiday with delight and joy. And I got back to London, started listening to the podcast, and I'd be walking around Battersea Park with my dog in the mornings listening to it. And at one point, this man came over to me because I was bent over and he thought I was crying because I was really upset. And I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so much. So, yeah, it's been a big part of my life.
So have you and Emma listened to the podcast together? Have you sat down?
We read the book together. And her daughter, Gaia, sent me a photograph of her wallpaper, which looks just like, I think actually is, pomegranates.
Yeah, she sent me the same
picture.
Have you
seen it?
Yeah. I don't think Emma was that impressed with her choice of decor, actually.
did she choose it for you guys?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I got a pomegranate Christmas ornament from Paper Chase last year as a homage to you guys.
That's cute.
Not as big an investment, but thank you anyway.
Not a true
cover
fan.
My walls is the last thing I see before I close my eyes at night.
Do you have her saved in your phone as Dame M?
I have her saved in my phone as Romance Crab.
As Romance Crab?
Please explain.
I don't know how to say this. She, a couple of friends met some people at a pub, like a date kind of thing. And she didn't want to cramp their style because she saw that there was flirting going on.
Right.
But she did want to kind of suggest that people could go back to hers to carry this on.
Fornicate.
Yeah. And so, but the way she kind of did, I watched her kind of, she scuttled sideways like a crab and just kind of going, if you want to come this way, then we've got champagne, it's like, or you can stay here, or you can, whatever you want to do, and then kind of scuttled sideways off again, like a crab. And so she's now Romance Crab in my...
I love
so
her.
Funny.
Are you usually a prudy person, or are you quite open with sexy stuff?
In my personal life, I am disgusting.
Wow.
Like, in terms of my language, if
right.
I mean, I'm just smutty as the next person.
Do you say swear words?
I do.
Oh my God.
I do. I say swear words and everything. But obviously, you know, being like on stage at the moment doing Shakespeare.
Exactly.
It's about knowing your audience, isn't it? So
yes.
It depends on who I'm talking to. If I'm meeting 12-year-old fans of Marvel at a convention, I might tailor it in
sure.
a slightly different
rein
direction.
In the F-bombs, yeah. The C-bombs. Yeah.
Although, actually, they're probably quite into
probably
that,
fine.
To be honest with you.
What's up, dickheads?
Because, you're in Shakespeare at the minute.
Yeah.
It's Measure for Measure, right?
Yeah. I mean, it whiffs of Rocky Flintstone, I have to say. So it's known as a problem play because, like, batshit crazy things happen in it. And at one point in rehearsals, we were like, do you think he just wrote Fast for Money in this section?
That's Dad. And Will.
There's, like, a line where I say, I something do excuse the thing I hate. And my co-actor, Jack Loudon, was like, do you think he just thought he'd fill in the something word later on?
That's but when you put like, a load of X's, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, I'll fill this in later. Like, I need a word there, so something do think. So this feels very Rocky Flintstone to me. There's also kind of... there's some the great lines I've been listening to in season four of... there's a lot of exclamation marks. Mm. I love my life.
Yeah, I love my life. I love my friends. I love Turkey.
I love Chardonnay.
Yes, I love Chardonnay. I love Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And it's kind of big, bold statements with exclamation marks. And when I listened to that, I then went on stage and I had this bit that I find quite difficult to do because it's four statements with exclamation marks.
Oh.
And they are unhappy Claudio, wretched Isabel, injurious world, most damned Angela. And all I've got in my head is, I love Turkey. I love my friends. I love Chardonnay. Wretched me.
messages. God.
Wretched
similar
Flintstone,
thoughts.
For sure. Thoughts.
And then By Your Leave is in the play. Duke says to me, now by your leave. And that's something that's...
Oh, there's triggers everywhere. How are you getting through this very well-lauded play?
I find like I'm slightly schizophrenic. I feel like I'm in Rocky's Measure for Measure.
Yeah.
It's his...
No, don't give him any ideas, please. He will adapt all of Shakespeare.
No, but you're obviously not the first person to compare him to Shakespeare. Michael Sheen did the same. So I do think in hundreds of years, Belinda Blinked is going to be made into a play and it's going to be performed around the world.
Hundreds of years. Listen to what you're saying.
If we're still alive, not us.
But that's how long it will take, the distance you need to be able to reflect.
Society will have to regress so far that Flintstone is deemed one of the true artists of his time. Wow. That is the age of Trump right there.
We've often said, can you imagine it being in schools?
I think it should be in schools just to teach kids what not to do.
Mm.
You know, it's
we have kind of that's a useful teaching device.
Yeah, I think we're conquering teenage pregnancy just by how awful it is.
Yeah, certainly turning me off sex for sure. It's not erotic in a similar way that any sex scene I've had to do as an actor, and hopefully those days are over now. I can be a bit older and more discerning because they're not they're as erotic to film them as they are listening to this podcast.
Because of just the number of people that are stood around like poking and prodding and...
Oh, that's the least of our problems. I mean, when we did Pillars of the Earth with Eddie Redmayne, he wore a beige nappy. And he had lots of fake tan on. And when he sweated, because it was the height of summer in Hungary where we were filming, he would sweat tan on me. And I'd been tangoed. And he looked a bit like an Oompa Loompa as well. And it's just a lot of kind of grunting, but with someone who's essentially become your brother over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So it does take away.
Do I dare ask why the nappy? Was that just that's just how he works?
It's a creative choice.
Right, sure, yeah.
But, you know, we all have our little quirks. Anything that helps us get into character. He wants the full-on nappy. I think Dominic Cooper in The Duchess, I didn't have sex scenes with him, but Keira Knightley did, and they said that he chose a sock.
Right.
Kind of a flesh-coloured sock, which
that he brought from home.
He knitted himself to size. But then I know some actresses, to ensure that in the editing process, they're not going to be seen more than they agreed or wanted to be seen, they'll put on like funny little plasters on their nipples, that are multicoloured, or something ridiculous. So there's absolutely no way it can end up on screen.
Right. That's good for trust, isn't it? It's like, no, I fully believe in the project, fully believe in you, but also these little Mickey Mouse plasters are going all over the old...
Do you have to put like a well-placed arm and things like that and everything? It's almost choreographed sometimes.
Yes, absolutely, which is really sexy to choreograph your own pleasure.
It's like dancing with a big man baby type thing, isn't it?
I mean, literally with Eddie Redmayne. Maybe that was what your Golden Globe nomination was for, just to endure the nappy.
I think it is.
Yeah,
they were just impressed with that. That's what you get paid for, the endurance of the just utter humiliation that goes with being an actor.
Now, you've had experiences online with porn, haven't you? You were telling us just before.
Wow.
That's you don't have to share, James. That's really personal.
She told us.
Well, I have. So this is, I think, something that most people. I bet there's ones of you guys, you know, fake porn accounts where your face is superimposed onto porn.
What?
I bet you there is. If you dig deep enough, you'll find probably find your face is superimposed.
Oh my God!
Stop digging.
I have a WhatsApp group for all the people involved in Agent Carter, and they discovered some porn of me, of my face. On porn.
I was gonna say, from the old days.
From the old days, back in the day.
I hope to be more discerning soon, but...
yeah, I've graduated to Shakespeare now. But we found some, and the best ones are when they're really badly superimposed. So they give me, like, extra chins, or... One I've noticed that consistently, I've always got really bad hair, like, worse than my own hair, which often, on my day off, is as bad as you can see it today. It's terrible. But... they're really awful, and they would be really disturbing. And I sometimes, the feminist in me gets really angry, but also reclaiming them for my own enjoyment and amusement in my social circle is basically what's gotten me through the trauma of thinking of a 14-year-old boy in the basement of his grand's house.
Why don't they include your real hair? They just cut you literally your face and not your actual hair.
That's insulting.
Yeah.
They've gone, we need to just,
the hair needs to go.
But is it because you were in like Christopher Robin or something and you had like, that's not doing it for me. I need to like cut that out. It's all a bit prim. I just want the face.
Just the face.
Yeah. She sent them to me last night. Do you guys want to see them?
Obviously.
Why did you send these to me last night?
What are you two chatting
really
about?
Really late at night.
I was like, go to bed.
I was just sitting there. I was Googling myself. My poor boyfriend sat there going, this is wrong on so many levels.
There you go.
Oh!
Look how proud. I'm so smug.
You're very smug in that one, actually. You're
really knowing.
I mean, how limber you are.
You're so bendy. I think your hair looks lovely.
Thank you. That one, yes.
Very glossy.
Very
much. I would also question whether other things have been superimposed.
Like the giant arsehole.
Well, I didn't want to say, but yeah.
I didn't know if that was yours or not, so I didn't want to... Obviously, apart from the fact that you're... Is it called presenting? You're kind of...
Exposed,
There's a kind of Kate Middleton vibe. I mean, apart from the pose.
But I'm also... it's very... you know when Joe Lycett does pictures of himself close up in the bath and he gives himself all these chins? Like his face is disappearing into his neck. It's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. I honestly think you look beautiful.
There's more. Let me find another particular... Oh, that one's
that's
good.
That's a bit of polishing the table.
Oh, wow.
Bit of light housework.
Hayley's legs, the porn actress's legs are splayed and she has her vagina pressed against a bar?
Against the edge of the table.
Just polishing.
Bit of spring cleaning there.
Oh
wow. This is quite hardcore.
Do you know what, I think that's quite
photoshopped if it is photoshopped.
That's Eddie Redmayne.
I'm definitely at work there. I don't think it's for my own pleasure, given my face is...
No, you're not focused. You're not there. You're like, you're planning
very Belinda.
Else.
Task
very
at hand.
Belinda.
Just getting the deal done.
It's also got a watermark and a website. I should like do some research on that one.
It says hayleyatwell.org. That's it.
How do you feel about that? Because it is... batshit and kind of creepy
and graphic.
Yeah, this is my life, guys. Don't be actors, children listening. Don't do anything I feel slightly violated. But there is a way to reclaim it back.
Yeah.
And that
by sending it to James late into the night.
Late at night on a Sunday.
Good for you, sister.
Because James was just saying he felt quite violated. So you're really, you're continuing the chain.
I'm bringing you all down with me. You will suffer like me.
Do you think that this is all kind of rooted because of the Marvel stuff? Do you think that's where these kind of more intense fans have come from? Or do you think it is Howard's End? Because you never can
tell. They are filth.
Ian Forster is known for having real filth bags who follow his work.
I mean, the wig that I wore in Howard's End does resemble a poo emoji. So
oh, does it?
It really does.
Oh my God.
Did it get you the job in the Winnie the Pooh film?
But you obviously have famously played an agent Agent Carter, Peggy.
Yeah, yeah. Which, but there's a spy kind of vibe going on in this series.
Exactly. We now have Helga, who's an agent.
Did you have to do any kind of research? Like, did you go and like hang out with? I don't know.
That was so critical. Did you do anything? Did you even read the script?
I went to Agent Provocateur.
Similar to Rocky Flintstone, I just like to let my creative juices kind of live in the moment, right, as opposed to any proper research into actually what it takes to write. But it's not the Marvel fans that send me this sort of thing at all. They're very wholesome and lovely. It's nice to, if I have a character that is going to follow me around the world, no matter what I do, if I'm doing this play at the moment and I get fans from Marvel, they just want to know about Peggy. And
is that not quite annoying?
Well, it depends on the mood, really. If I've come out and been like, oh, God, it's exhausting. I work so hard doing Shakespeare. And someone's like, so can I talk to you about Thanos? And I'm like, I've had people who came dressed as Agent Carter in the audience of the play.
Wow.
It's been like a sea of red hats.
Well, using your Agent Carter background, any suspicions about who the special one is? Have you got a theory about who it could be?
I think it's someone we've already met, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to believe that he'd do somebody completely new, because that would be
to
even Dad.
Yeah.
But,
like,
you know.
Whoa.
And it's this person. And here's their biography. This is what they're all about.
They were on holiday the whole time, so. Yeah,
exactly.
But I thought the Phantom at the wedding was going to be
something good.
Something good. I still, by season four, I'm still having high hopes that something good's going to happen.
I don't think anyone else could sustain that kind of hope like Rocky, because in anything else, you'd have given up. You'd have thought, no, I know what this is now. But we all are like, no, the Phantom at the wedding could be something. And then our hopes are dashed again, and yet we come back for more.
Yeah. I do like that. I've noticed in season four, especially the first earlier episodes, have been less about plot and more about kind of setting. Mm. So we've had a church where God appeared. And then the kind of the mystical hallucinatory, like
cave den.
Yeah, Tara McFlue.
I was trying to remember what that was. I was thinking, I kept thinking of like a tomahawk paddle, tamarind sword.
No, because those are all real words.
But he's taught me a word I didn't know. Decapod?
Decapod, yes.
Crustacean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh no, that one's
actually the next kind.
Yeah, we'll allow that one.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you talked about recipes as part of your merch?
Do go on.
Oh,
well,
no.
There has been, you know, moments of kind of interesting culinary offerings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His book. And I wondered if that part of your merch might include a recipe book, the Slim Lime Tonic.
I think that could do really well, actually.
Definitely.
Slim Lime.
Slim Lime.
Quite hard to say.
Slim Lime Tonic.
Slim Lime Tonic. The turkey sandwich without the bread. It was like...
You spent time in Hollywood, I'm sure, in LA. Well, I mean, that would go down very well.
Oh, there you go.
It's the pizza version.
We just live on turkey out there. but I thought that the turkey sandwich was Belinda and Sam was the sandwich, and turkey in the middle of it, that they were the sandwich. They were the bread.
Oh my God, that's good.
That is good. Again,
that's gross.
Probably not, because Rocky doesn't think that far ahead.
But I like that. That's an interpretation that I can get on board with. Yeah.
It also says a lot about your private life.
It's the old turkey sandwich. I've seen it before.
But
hi,
yes,
Mum. The gooseberry yogurt with papaya slithers.
Delicious.
Was quite good. I mean, that sounds a little, you know, Nigella, when she's like a tangle of okra.
Mm.
Sounds a
you
bit sexual.
You could do the M&S, not any old Not any old pudding, but an M&S pudding.
Oh my God. Could you do blue cheese fish mousse in the M&S voice?
This is not any old snack. This is blue cheese fish mousse on a bed of distressed lettuce.
Oh, lovely.
Smack.
I'm now thinking we're misquoting. They don't say any old.
Any old.
This isn't any old fucking any pudding.
This isn't any old pasty. Oh, gosh.
Well, you've actually brought something with you, right?
Well, I actually discovered quite recently a photograph of me wearing a T-shirt that I remember that I was very fond of when I was about 9. And it didn't occur to me till quite recently that I have actually been advertising a porn company since 1990.
So, and reaping the benefits, I'm sure.
Those pictures make way more sense now.
Yeah. So I bought a copy of myself at Madame Tussauds with my grandma. And this is a picture of...
Sorry, what? Oh, you bought the physical copy?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a picture of me, my grandma and David Bowie advertising a porn company.
Electric Blue Casting Director.
So I don't know how I got hold of this T-shirt, but this was a soft porn company in the 80s.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and I'd go to school with that T-shirt on. And how did my mum not know? I mean, it's quite obvious what that might suggest it is.
Also, you're the casting director.
Where did you get it from?
I don't know. I think...
And why was it in a
like
child's
a
size?
Also, your knee-high white socks. Yes,
thank
please.
You very much. They're like the ballet shoe. Like the
there's
flats.
A lot going on. And I've not even glanced at the rather awful waxwork of David Bowie. But
yeah. Does he have odd eye colours?
He does. They've got that in. Yeah.
That's his kind of Let's Dance China Girl phase.
Yeah.
The Glass Spider Tour era.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, where did you get it from?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think, right.
you're even clutching the bottom of it to make sure the full logo is straight.
You're stretching
like, sorry,
it out.
Do we have the T-shirt in the shop?
If they did a waxwork of me, I want to be in that.
Oh my God, yeah, please. To resurrect it.
Just for a fourth and final time, where did you get it from?
So I think in the area that I lived in, the owner of this company lived. And I think I may have babysat his son once.
Oh God.
And somehow
what happened to you?
Paid and with the T-shirt. I don't know.
Oh,
or he thought you did such a good job, he made you the casting director of his company.
From the Electric Blue casting director to the Donmar warehouse, it's been quite a fruitful journey.
Can I post that on Instagram?
You can, as long as you take my poor grandma out of this. Let's leave grandma out
She doesn't
of this.
Need to be she doesn't need brought to down be... by this smart.
No,
come
no,
on
quite right. She's a lady.
Well, speaking of casting, we've got to ask the question.
Mm. Yes.
Who do you want to play in the movie, Blind Blinked?
Can I play one of the guys?
Sure, yeah.
I'd quite like to play Alfie, the smallish man.
The sound man.
The smallish man dressed in black.
Smallish. Smallish man.
Yeah. It's quite a small cameo, though. I mean, if you're taking your pick of the parts, you wouldn't be in it for
no
very long.
No such thing as small parts, James. Just
Sorry, sure.
Is that a saying?
There is a kind of a saying, which is, I think we first heard it in drama school, that there's no such thing as a small part, only a small actor. Mm. So that you could, if you take a small part, you can make it.
I mean, this is both those two things, actually.
He's one of the few where on the Venn diagram, he's both.
But I have imagined, anytime you've cast someone, I've imagined it being more of like a drunk history vibe, in that you film their faces, but it's you dubbing over with your voice. Because I think if it was to be televised, it would really lose a lot if it didn't have your interpretation and your performance.
Well, I mean, it's up for debate. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what we'd lose.
How on earth did you do that with a straight face, hopefully?
This is what I deal with every day.
So you want to play Alfie. What kind of things would you do to get into the role of Alfie? Are you a method kind of person? Would you go and like mic people up just to get a feel for it?
If I've got a lot of time on my hands, I might go and do a bit of methody thing just to make it look like I'm like working really hard.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm not really a method actor at all. Really, at all.
Do you believe in it? Sometimes I'm a bit like, calm down.
No, I don't believe in it because I have had the great fortune to meet brilliant actors in my life who are really cool and down to earth, Dame M being one, obviously. But I once met Meryl Streep, for example.
Oh, wow.
And lots of, you know, great actors who aren't method, which means that on cut and when they go home, they can live their normal lives and not inflict whatever intense experience they're having on people around them.
On everybody else, yeah.
And then, so me seeing performances by people who weren't method made me go, as a young actor who was still going, I don't know how to do this, like figuring out what's my way, my process. I thought, if it's possible, I'd rather not do it then.
I'd
rather figure out how to be really good.
So true.
And then not do it. Because if it is possible, then I don't want to do that to other people.
Particularly
it's
on...
really selfish person. Yeah. And I know this would be like a headline of the Daily Mail. Like,
God.
Colin Atwell calls, who's, whatever, we're not going to go there. I'm not going to give them a Daily Mail headline. But,
I think
we will. Dustin Hoffman.
I think Atwell was a child casting director for a porn agency. It's probably going to be the headline.
Actwell.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well because it's like, you're an actor. The whole job is that you are creating something and it isn't real. Whereas if you go too method and it becomes real, are you even acting anymore?
Ooh.
Is it a craft anymore?
Or
is it just...
Drops the mic.
What is acting?
Are we not all acting in some way?
Do you know what I mean?
You know, we have many masks.
That's so funny you say that because Jamie was in a childhood band
and he
wrote a very moving song called Masks.
Called Masks, yeah.
And one of the incredible lines in it is masks, hiding personalities, masks, hiding feelings too.
Masks, hiding away all your pain, personalities, hiding away.
Wow, that's really...
It was. I was a very, very traumatised child.
How have we never talked about that?
Yeah. What I love is that you both know the lyrics. You are word perfect, guys. Well done.
Have you guys talked about this on the podcast?
No. I don't think so.
So, Jamie, what's the melody?
Masks.
Hiding personalities.
Masks.
Hiding feelings too.
Masks.
Hiding away all your pain. Personalities hiding away. Personalities going astray.
God, I was going to try and come in there. I've never heard this song before.
There was other hits. Running Away from the Butcher's Dog.
That was my Bowie
different
one. Running
vibe.
Away from the Butcher's Dog. Running.
I just have this... How old were you?
Oh, like
27.
10.
I have an image of you in your bedroom with your back to the door as your dad like passing it, opening it, seeing the back of you on like a keyboard, having like a
demo mode.
And you talking about hiding away my pain in the mask. And, like,
it was me and my sister.
What was your band called?
Yeah, what were the names?
We were called, well, there were two names. I thought that we were called The Universe, but my sister says that we were called Two for Two, which I don't think we were, but that's what she calls.
Universe. That's quite good. That reminds me of a DT project that I had to do when I was 14.
Design technology for the international listeners.
And you had to be, that was right, you had to do a package as a music producer.
Oh,
and
that's
you had
cool.
to come up with
what
a label
school
name.
Did you go to?
But I called my music label Universe.
Oh.
And the tagline was uni is in one, verse, song, universe, there is only one song. There is only one universe. There is only one song.
Like what a great record label. We have one song. We're going to take over the world, guys.
So we recorded a song and I still remember some of the lyrics today. It was called I Don't Want to Go to School Today. And it goes, I don't want to go to school today, because I love you, boy, but I can't pretend that you don't belong to my best friend. I don't want to go to school today, and you know why, baby.
Oh, my God, that was great.
Wow, there is only one song.
I remember like, don't know what I'm supposed to do. Don't know where I should go. It's true. I've been avoiding coming face to face with my emotions. Coming face to face with you. I don't want to go to school today.
It's good.
I'm loving it.
Because I love you, boy, but I can't pretend that you don't belong to my best friend.
That's my favourite bit.
That's my favourite bit.
Yeah.
But again, brilliant, that bit, yeah.
Oh, and then, what's that bit where it all drops?
We don't know the song, so.
No, I mean, like, when you write a song, what's that bit where you
the
just
bridge?
Go, the bridge, and it goes, wait, hang on.
What's the bit where, no,
you're and I hope and pray one day it'll be all right, it'll be all right, everything changed when you first kissed me, everything's upside down. Now I can't face her face in the classroom, but tonight, pray you'll come around.
Oh my God. I think we could make the whole song out of all that.
Our listeners are really creative, so anyone who wants to go and make that into an actual song,
there please
do. There
might be copyright issues. I don't know what happened to the recording or who this person was. Maybe he worked for the Electric Blue softball company.
That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank
that was
you.
So good. I'm crying.
You really got into it as well. Like, you really like I feel like you guys should go in the studio together. Jamie
should
and Hayley.
Should we resurrect the universe?
Wow, that's just quite a suggestion.
What an invitation.
Beautiful.
Well, Hayley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's been so
you.
Much fun.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm still slightly starstruck seeing you all together around the kitchen table. Thanks for the pastries.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the coffee.
You didn't eat one. Are you going to eat one now?
I'm going to take one for the road.
Okay, the bin outside your house.
Busted.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.